Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and we are in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 39. And so get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us, please.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
This is Landon from Camas, Washington.
Yeah, we're going to read 27 through, or Andy is going to read 27 through 39.
After these things, he went forth and beheld a publican, Levi by name, sitting at the place of toil, and said to him, "Follow me." And he forsook all and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in this house. And there was a great crowd of publicans and of others that were sitting at meat with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes murmured, saying unto the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said to them, "The healthy have no need of a physician, but the ailing. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said unto him, "The disciples of John fast often and make supplications, likewise also those of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make the sons of the bridechamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he spoke also of a parable unto them, "No one rendeth for a patch from a new garment and patches it upon an old garment. Else he will also rend the new, and the patch from the new will not agree with the old. And no one pours new wine in old wineskins, else the new wine will burst the skins, and itself will be spilled, and the skins will perish. But new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. No one drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good."
Andy, you remember back in the days when Cindy North was, we'd be talking to Cindy and we'd read something and she'd give us a bad time. Do you remember that? And you read Levi by name sitting in the place of toil and said to him. Now, Cindy'd pick up on that right away.
I think I picked on it up on it too, and I wondered why that, Wow.
The toll collector.
T-O-I-L. I read it. I saw an I instead of two L's, toll. It was Levi sitting at the place of the toll.
Toll collector. Now,
toll collector.
Now, do you think she'd let you get away with that without razzing you?
Oh, no. She'd have stopped me on the spot. In fact, I would have stopped you on the spot. Why'd you let me go? Well, when I thought that doesn't sound right.
I think you've already done like 10 times you've caught me.
Okay, good.
Maybe 20.
Back to 9 now. Ooh, yeah. Good.
So what is it, 20 to 1?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's a tax collector, and he's at the place of toll collecting. And Jesus said, "Follow me." He forsook all and rose up and followed him, a tax collector. And they're doing a great feast in his house, and there was a great crowd of these tax collectors, and others were sitting at meat with him. Now, the religious dudes, well, the Pharisees, and their compatriots, the scribes, these religious people and their friends, murmured, saying unto the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners, the tax collectors and the bad people?" Well, isn't there a division between church and state today? I mean, the church is really fighting against the politics, and politics is just, the church doesn't like what the politicians do, and the politicians don't like what the church does. Do You see the same thing going on here?
Looks like nothing new here.
Yeah. And who just got saved? To the religious people, a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? An IRS agent could never be saved. And especially those sinners. Isn't this interesting? He picks the things that, if you're a moral person, that you have a tendency to bristle at, you know, when you have to pay taxes and somebody does wrong to you and you bristle, you know, we bristle at that. But we think the religious people today, but they're kind of losing their shining armor. It seems like people are not as, a lot of people are actually leaving the churches. Churches are losing people like fury today. Have you seen that?
Especially churches that are not keeping more to a scriptural base. So
yeah, they're leaving left and right.
I don't know if they're leaving for a scriptural base. They might be leaving for a moral base.
Yeah, no, that's a better way.
Yeah. It's not so much reading the Bible, it's the hypocrisy of it that's what's getting people.
Well, what you're seeing too is there are people that are leaving the less moral, to use your term, but the more strict sects of some of the denominations are actually picking up parishioners, which is interesting. So where they're sticking to, this is the rule of whether it be a rule or following a man, they're the ones that are sticking to those rules are actually picking up parishioners, and the ones that are not are losing them.
And he said, the healthy need no physician, but the ailing. I am not come to call the righteous. He said, I'm not here to call the righteous, but I think actually it's the self-righteous. It doesn't say that, but the righteous. Okay, you think you're righteous. Okay, he's not coming here to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so a person, if you think you're righteous, Jesus can't help you because you got to repent. If you think you're all perfect and all right, here's Jesus himself offering to call. And Jesus says, I'm here to call the sinners, the tax collectors and sinners to repentance.
You know, I always took that as a big, big picture, that he didn't come to call righteous, meaning if there's, think of it across time, if there are people that are righteous, his message is not calling them, they're already there. I always took it as a big picture, but I see what you're saying though. But the sinners are, and these sisters are sick. They're ailing.
These people aren't righteous. The public,
they're not.
Pharisees and so
all of
on.
Them.
They're not righteous, but they think they are. So they're not open to it. He says, well, I'm not here to call the righteous. I'm here to call sinners. Every person to repent. If you're going to repent, you have to realize you're making an error someplace.
Sure.
So if you think you're righteous, forget
it. Then there's no room.
Because we cannot start at base one, which is you got to repent. Well, I'm already righteous. Okay, we're not here to call the righteous. They've already made up their minds that they're right, even though they're not. Because ego is really the first.
Well, like Peter a while ago, he fell down at Jesus' knees and says, I am a sinner. So he viewed, that's who he came to call, somebody that was at that point about themselves.
Right.
I gotcha.
And it talks about new wine into old wineskins or new wine into new wineskins. What's wine in the Bible? It's usually the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so to be, for the Holy Spirit to go in a person, they need to have a fresh wineskin. Their heart has to be cleansed first. So they have to know in their heart that they need help. They have to repent. They can't just be an egocentric person, cannot repent. They just won't repent.
They think they're right.
They won't go against themselves.
Or shall I put it this way? An egocentric person has to repent.
Yeah.
You got to put down ego. And ego is translated I. Actually, it's translated, well, ego I am, he is I am. And that's what God says about him. That's his name.
That's God.
So what is a man saying when he's an egomaniac? I am God. That's really, when people say I am, they're saying I'm God. I don't know if people really realize that.
It's a dangerous road to be down.
Yeah. Jesus' name is I am, and he is God. And if you saw how that's used in the Bible, a person saying, if he says I am, he's God. Somebody was talking to an individual. It's not sent to me, but I know about it. But someone was sent a letter from a person that refused to change his mind. And there were 20 sentences in it, and I, me, or my was found 19 times. So basically, except for the last was just a, it didn't, that last sentence really didn't say anything. But in every one of the sentences that meant something was the term I, most cases, and once or twice me, and one time maybe my. And the person didn't change his mind. Is there any reason why, do you think?
Well, we've seen that again in another account in Job, where it was all about I, me,
Mr. Elihu.
Yeah.
The young one.
Mm-hmm.
There's six chapters that he spoke. Six is Satan's number.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. And he was definitely egocentric.
Yeah.
And God totally ignored him. The other three that accused Job, Job was told to pray for him, and they had to offer a sacrifice. They had to repent, and then Job was to pray for him and forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
But Elihu, we don't know what happened to him. Luke chapter 6, are you going to read that, Landon? 1-5.
Now it happened that he was passing through grain fields on a Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating. But some of the Pharisees said, Why do you what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, saying, Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him? Now he entered the house of God and took and ate consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions. And he was saying to them, The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
So he took the consecrated bread that was just for the priests, and they were eating and doing what was not lawful on the Sabbath, according to them. And yet, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So he could do that. He's the creator. I'm not going to pick fault at anything Jesus does.
Because if I messed up with it, it's just me that probably can't figure it out.
Right. The next context, if somebody doesn't have anything to say about that, you know, the only ironic thing I saw about this chapter 6, verses 1-5,
what?
Here are the religious people griping about everything Jesus does, yet he is perfect. So they see Jesus, they don't get him, they don't know that it's God, and it's God, and everything he does he picks at, even how he eats. Now that's getting a little bit ridiculous. Are you getting, I'm kind of irritated with them. Started to irritate me.
Okay. Now the same one, I'll read the end of the, I'll read this other one in Matthew.
Okay.
Same story. And at that season, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples hungered and began to pluck ears and eat. But the Pharisees, seeing it, said to him, Lo, thy disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, Have you not read what David did when he hungered, and they with him, how he entered into the house of God, and they ate the show loaves, which is not lawful for him to eat, neither for those with him, but for the priest alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Maybe they didn't read that one. But I say to you that greater than the temple is here. But had you known what is I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He added a few pieces there.
He was guiltless.
Yes.
Can you imagine standing in judgment of God? And Jesus actually is the Creator. And they stood in judgment of him.
He pretty much says, what the Son of Man says about the Sabbath goes. He's like, and they're like, how dare you tell us you're the Lord of the Sabbath? My.
With the same measure, you will be measured. Did you know that they set into exactly when they did that, they set into course that they were now guilty according to their measure. You will be
measured.
By what measure you measure, it shall be measured unto you.
Tapped, how is that? What, and pressed down?
Yeah, good measure pressed
exactly,
down and overflowing.
Exactly right.
Even yeah. To the utmost point, you are just now guilty of that.
Isn't that a statement?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That they just brought that upon themselves. I think I'd rather stay out of that one. And we're in verses 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through 11?
Yep. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew that they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus.
They were filled with madness.
They're convinced he's breaking the Sabbath. They've given three bad arguments on how he's broken the Sabbath. And this is just revving them up.
I've seen people watch, waiting to pounce. I've seen this, actually.
Looking for something.
Yeah. Jesse's nodding his head. I've seen people do this. Just like they're looking for the mistake. They just know it. And Satan has two tools. So whose side are these guys on? Accusation. That he goes before God, Satan. Do you know your adversary, the devil? He goes before God day and night seeking whom he may devour. And he does two things. And he does it through accusation and deception. He accuses the saints before God day and night. Luke chapter 6, and this goes a ways, 12 through 38.
And it came to pass in these days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he'd also named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James of Alphaeus, and Simon, the one called Zealot, and Judas of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place, and a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And those oppressed of unclean spirits were cured. And the whole crowd were seeking to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed you're poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Bless you that hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall ostracize you and reproach, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap, for lo, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same manner did their fathers to the prophets. But woe unto you, the rich, for you have your full consolation. Woe unto you that are full now, you shall hunger. Woe you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe when men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner they did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those hating you, bless those cursing you, pray for those reviling you. To the one smiting you on one cheek, offer also the other, and from the one taking away the cloak, withhold not thy cloak also. Give to everyone that asks thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do to them likewise. And if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For even the sinners love those that love them. For even if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? Even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive the like again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High. For he is kind toward the unthankful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall no wise be judged. And condemn not, and you shall no wise be condemned. Release, and you will be released. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again.
This sounds a lot like what the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so on.
Yep.
But it veers off. It's not exactly the same that you find in Matthew. Because this is now teaching that Jesus is the Son of Man, and he is here to understand us, walk in our shoes, and to so he can help lead us out of this. So Matthew 5 is, the theme is, this is the first step that we take, is this is the kingdom of the heavens, and Jesus is the king. But this comes different. What did you know in this, or what did you notice in this you didn't see in Matthew chapter 5?
It's like it goes into a lot of detail of things. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed, all the blessings that are told. And then it says some things in the end, but it doesn't get into these kind of details about do good. I'll read them again. They're a pretty big list, the ones that got me going. Give to everyone that asks thee, and of him that takes away your goods, don't ask again. Ask, and would that men should do to you, do them likewise. And if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For even the sinners love those that love them. For even if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? Even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to them that hope to receive, what thank have you? Even the sinners do to them the same to receive again.
He's going down
this list here.
This is impossible to do if you just start off doing this. This is not quite possible.
You read the list and it just starts, but love your enemies and do good and lend, never despairing, and your reward.
Can you see?
At first he's saying something. Yes, this, Matthew is definitely the beginning. This is a list of
blessed are the
things.
Poor in spirit. This is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now. You shall be filled. Blessed are the ones that weep. They shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they ostracize you and reproach you and cast you out. and treat your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's interesting. Son of Man's sake. That's getting into this. That's in Matthew. Rejoice in that day and leap, for lo, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same manner did they your fathers to the prophets. Woe unto you, the rich, for you shall have your full consolation. But this one is really...
Matthew's just this.
Yeah.
It's first peace and very blessed. You're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. And this one's like, do this, do this, do this, do this. You want to be like your Father in heaven?
It's different.
It's very, very an older person. You can see these statements are made to an older person.
Yeah. Yeah, the Matthew 5 is all positive, or pretty much positive, and there's 9 blessings.
I remember when I was in the Lord 2 years, Gil, I was reading this Luke 1 at lunch, and I went like this. Really, I got to me when it said, but love your enemies, do good and lend, never despairing, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. He's kind toward the unthankful and the evil. And I started going like this, be merciful even as your Father, judge not that you be not judged, condemn not. And then it keeps going on, and I'm just like, wow, it was like, it pushed me back. I wasn't ready to be able to do that.
In Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are they that mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peace doers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are those when men reproach you and persecute you and say all manner against you falsely for my name's sake. But in Luke, it is, yes, it goes on and says, and it goes on to say more that I can see now what Ivan Panin is saying. We're not ready for this until we're ready for it.
We have 4 blessed in Luke, and we got 9 blessed in Matthew.
And there's, I don't see any, are there any woes? No.
No, there's no woes.
And here in Luke are 4 woes. Woe to you when you are rich, for you have your full consolation. Woe to you that are full now, you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, you shall mourn and weep. Woe when you're all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets.
And so who do these woes point at now? The person that got the blessed.
Yeah.
Okay, in Matthew, you know where you catch some woes? Matthew 23, and who's that all about?
Right.
The scribes, the Pharisees. You don't get woed in Matthew.
No, I can. I'm seeing Ivan Panin's what he's saying about this step by step in our growth. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.